Thank you, ladies. That's good music. I like that. Revelation chapter 4-5. Okay, fine. They're right by each other, in case you haven't figured that out yet. And chapter 4-5, we're going to look at the last of chapter 4 and then look a little bit tonight at chapter 5, following along on the theme of last week's lesson on God is worthy. God is worthy, all right? How's the sound out there for y'all? Is it okay? Is it a little loud? It's a little loud up here. Seems like a little loud, maybe just a tad bit low there. We're just struggling with this sound system right now. I told Tom the other day, I'm looking for a board that has four buttons. On, off, treble, bass, and that's it, amen. But instead of 4 million buttons, I don't know what they do with all those buttons. But anyway, thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege to be in church Wednesday night. Thank you for our guest here tonight. I pray that you'll be with the CPECs, give them safety as they finish out the last few meetings, and Lord, then plan to leave in January. God, this will be the last holiday season with some of their family. I pray that you'll make that a very special time. Be with Robert's mother down there on the mission field. I pray that you'll be with Abigail's dad, mom, and her grandparents, all these folks involved in mission work. What a blessing, what a heritage. Help us tonight as we look into your word. I pray that, Lord, this will really help us tonight, that you'd really help us to see this importance of pleasing you with our lives. You are worthy of that. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 5 of Revelation, the narrative continues from chapter 4 when God allowed John to see into the throne room of heaven right after the rapture. You recall John saw the throne. He saw the one who sits on the throne. He saw the seraphim flying around the throne and the throng seated around the throne. Everything centered around the throne. I am glad as I speak tonight on November the 8th, 2023, in the midst of worldwide chaos and confusion, I am glad that there is a throne in heaven that is greater in dominion, greater in power than all the thrones on earth combined. What a privilege to know the one who sits on that throne. There is no throne likened to that throne, nowhere. And so that's what John sees. And the one who sits on the throne, we learned last week from Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, is worthy. You see it there. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Talking about the Lord God Almighty that was on the throne there in the chapter 4. Now, between chapter 4, verse 11 and chapter 5, verse 12, the word worthy is used five times in 13 verses, the word worthy is used. Now look at chapter 5, verse number 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now this was the book of judgments that began to be opened in chapter 6, all right? Seal number one is the white horse, and then seal number two, and I forget the exact order, but those judgments begin in chapter 6, all right? Now look at verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? So this strong angel cries out, who is worthy? Verse 3, no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. You know what that means? Nobody was worthy. Verse 4, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. So no one, the Bible says in heaven, on earth, under the earth, nobody worthy of opening that book that the one had in his hand who sat on the throne. Look at verse number five. And one of the elders saith unto me, that's John, talking to John, weep not. John said in verse 4 that he wept much. One of the elders said, no, don't cry, because behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. John must have gone, oh, wonderful. Amen. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Then verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. You know exactly what happened, folks. The Lord Jesus, when he came the first time to the earth, did not come as the lion from the tribe of Judah. He came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. That's how John knew him. John did not know him as the lion of the tribe of Judah. So when the angel said, the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, it's like, oh, great, wonderful. And he turns to look, and behold, what? Oh, the lion is the lamb. The lamb is the lion. Jesus Christ is a lot of things. He's the door. He's the light. He's the chief shepherd. On and on you can go. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And however, at this point in time, when John looks up into that throne, he sees Jesus not only as the lamb, but as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Because when Christ comes back to this earth the second time, that's how he's coming, as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so he sees that there. Look at verse number 7. He came, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God, came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. All right, now look at verse number 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and gold and vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Verse 9, and they sung a new song. Now, they already had a song back in chapter 4, but now they're singing a new song here in chapter 5. And I want you to look at the first words of their song. Thou art worthy. So we're talking about, folks, God is worthy. God is worthy. That's the truth I want to drive home again tonight. That truth that God is worthy. What's he worthy of? He's worthy of us living to please him because, as we learned last week, he's the creator. And we were created for that purpose, the purpose of pleasing him. And God is worthy of us pleasing him because he made us. He gives us breath and life. Remember last week we all took a breath. You know where that breath came from? It came from the very hand of God. That's what the Bible teaches us more than one place. That reason alone is enough for you and me to make sure that we fulfill our purpose, the purpose of pleasing him. He's worthy of that. And remember that in pleasing him, we'll find peace and we'll find rest and we'll find fulfillment and joy that money cannot buy, possessions cannot provide, and no relationship here on earth can create in our hearts. No. That peace and that rest and that fulfillment and that joy is specific to us pleasing God with our lives. You won't find that anywhere else. And the reason we won't be, we're created for that. We're fulfilling our purpose. I don't know if you thought about that since last Wednesday night. I don't know. That's your purpose. What have you been doing the last 7 days? Well, you go to work and you're at home and you got things you're doing around the house and you got work and you got things you're planning. But you know what your main purpose was these past 7 days? To please him. That's why we're here. That's why we're created. For his pleasure. For your pleasure. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And the benefit of that is when we live for his pleasure, oh, the joy, the fulfillment that you can't buy. You can't find it in a box or a bottle or a house or a vehicle or a vacation. Or a trip around the world. You can only find it in pleasing him. Now, God is worthy because he is the creator, but he is also worthy for another reason that we find in verse number 9. Look at it. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Not only is God worthy of our pleasing him because he created us, God is worthy of our pleasing him because he redeemed us. Redeemed us. What does redeemed mean? Well, some people say the simple definition means to buy back, but actually it's a little bit broader than that. It means to go to market for the purpose of buying. to do business for the purpose of buying. You know what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did? He went to the marketplace to pay the price for the souls of mankind. And notice what exactly the price was for those souls in verse number 9. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. What is it that we remember when we observe the ordinance of the Lord's table here? The bread is passed, representing the body of Jesus, the body that was slain on the cross. He did not die in the Garden of Gethsemane. He did not die on the way to Calvary with the cross on his back. He did not die as he laid on that cross. He died as he hung on that cross. He was slain on the cross, bearing in his own body our sins to that tree. And you think about the blood, the juice that we pass, representing the blood of Jesus, that blood that was shed on the cross. That was the price that Jesus paid for the souls of mankind. I give it to you often, that wonderful phrase in the hymn that we sing, saved by the blood. Great price of our pardon, his own precious son. Amazing. That's the price that Jesus paid, gave himself for the souls of mankind. And listen, while we rejoice in the truth that Jesus paid the price for all souls, you know what I think we need to do once in a while? We need to personalize the truth that Jesus paid the price for me. Oh, Jesus died for everybody. That's wonderful and true. But we got to stop once in a while. Whoa, stop, time out, hit the pause button. He paid the price for me, for my soul. You understand, church, the purchase price for one soul was the same as it would have been for 10 billion souls. Jesus' body and blood were sacrificed in the marketplace of Calvary for you and for me. And we need to understand that truth for ourselves. We're redeemed. We're bought with a price, for a price. That price was paid in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. Bought back from sin, bought back from Satan, bought back from a sure eternity in hell. And because we are redeemed, God is worthy of us pleasing him. The songwriter wrote, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He went on to say, redeemed and so happy in Jesus. But wait a minute, isn't that what God used to kind of spur me in this line of thought the last couple of Wednesdays? Why do some of God's people seem to be so unhappy, so long-faced? You're redeemed. You're redeemed. Bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. So where's the disconnect? If I'm redeemed and bought back from sin, death, grave, hell, Satan, where's the disconnect? Because folks, look, you have to please him. You're made to please him. You're created to please him, and you're redeemed to please him. And the only way for a redeemed person to be happy in Jesus is if they are fulfilling the purpose for which they were redeemed, which is the same purpose for which we were created. Please him. Please him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Paul is kind of incredulous. Hey, Corinthian people, whoa, whoa, whoa. What? What? Know ye not? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, because you're bought, because you're redeemed, what do? Glorify. Please. God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to him. Now, as a created being redeemed by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we live to please ourselves, we are not living for the purpose for which we were created and redeemed. And there will be no peace and no rest, true peace, true rest, joy, until we live for the purpose for which we were created, to please God. Now, that verse is interesting to me because Paul said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Now, it's interesting to me because the order of the words is body and then spirit. I think most of us would put spirit before body, meaning the inside has to be right before for the outside to be right. I want to say this tonight. Many things that we do in our body affect our spirit. Our spirit has no contact with this world, but our body does. That's how we got contact with the world, the senses, the seeing, the hearing, the touching, the tasting, the smelling. So a lot of things we do with our body end up affecting our spirit. And I want to say specifically tonight that what we allow through the ear gate and through the eye gate of our bodies ends up affecting our spirit. Now, Brother Martin was just here and he talked about Lot on the Sunday night message, okay? He referenced that this verse in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 8, talking about Lot, that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, the word unlawful there has nothing to do with breaking government laws. Had nothing to do with speeding or insurrection at the White House. Nothing to do with anything governmental. Unlawful, it means not subject to the Jewish law. The Jewish law, that's the law of God. The written law that God gave to his people. But in Lot's case, the written law was not given when he was living in Sodom. But you know what there was, folks? There was at least a code of righteousness that mankind was aware of and had been for years. Cain murdered his brother Abel. And God did what? Punished Cain because he did wrong. Enoch pleased God and God translated him. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I love this. At a time when the, quote, wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Hello, 2023. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and God protected him. Abraham believed God, and God counted him righteous. So what was up with Lot? Lot was not pleasing to God. Why was he not pleasing to God? His soul was vexed. There's no rest, there's no peace, there's no joy, there's no fulfillment in a vexed soul. That's the opposite of rest and joy and peace. What's happening with Lot? He's not pleasing the one who created him. He's not pleasing that. Lot's a just man. Second Peter, Lot's a righteous man. He's not pleasing the one who redeemed. A down payment on his salvation had been made. Looking forward to Calvary. Lot's not pleasing his God. No, not at all. Lot's problem, when he separated from Abraham, he pitched his tent in the direction of a godless, proud, idle, immoral group of people. And the Bible says that he dwelt among them. Dwelling means settling down in a place. Settling down. It's not a visit. It's dwelling. Not going there just to sojourn. You're living there. Let me remind us that once we have been redeemed, we are to avoid settling down in this world. We're not to dwell. We live here physically. But we're not to settle down in this world. Listen to what the Bible says here about Enoch, Noah, and Abraham. Those three men that I talked about that pleased God, pleased him. Listen to what the Bible says, Hebrews 11:13, about Enoch, Noah, and Abraham. These all confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were not dwelling. They were passing through. And the New Testament carries that theme, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war. What's the opposite of peace? War. War against the soul. Abstain from that. People, we will never be able to please God and fulfill the purpose for which we were created and redeemed if we settle down in this world. We got to live as a pilgrim. Got to live as a stranger. We can't dwell among the people of this world. Now, we settle down in this world the same way Lot did. We pitch our tents in the direction of a godless, proud, immoral group of people and dwell among them. You say, Pastor, how in the world does that happen? How does that happen? When a lot of Christians in this room live a separated life from the world. We don't go to the office parties where there's drinking and carrying on, and we don't hobnob with that group, and teens, our young people and our kids and boys and girls, they go to Christian schools or they're homeschooled. It's a controlled environment, and we don't participate in activities where there are tons of lost people. So how does a family or an individual pitch their tent in the direction of a godless, proud, immoral group of people and dwell among them? Movies? YouTube? Television shows? Social media posts and blogs? People, there were no electronic mediums. There were no platforms when Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. The people were in living color all around Lot. And we're separated from the world. We don't go to any of those type activities. No, we don't do that. We just bring them right into our house. Oh, boy. Wednesday night just turned south. We bring them right into our homes. I don't go to the office party where all that stuff is going on. Click. Live in color. I'm going to tell you, folks, that godless, immoral, filthy, wicked Hollywood crowd should not be invited into the living rooms, the family rooms, the computers, the desktops, the laptops, the phones of God's people. Please guard the eye gate. Please guard the ear gate of yourself and your children in this area. And I'm not talking about just movies and just television shows. I'm talking about video games and all the stuff where we literally dwell among. We hear, we see. I'm using the word we very generously because I don't do those games. Guard your eye gate. Guard your ear gate, yours and the children in your home. Listen, without blushing or batting an eye, Disney openly promotes the worst of all lifestyles in its productions. On purpose. You are a hypocrite if you scream about the LGBTQ plus ABCDEFG, whatever they are out there, and then turn right around and bring that Disney thing into your home and put it in front of the eyes and ears of your children. You know what's happening to their soul and spirit? Vexed. I don't throw anybody under the bus for watching Old Yeller. I'm not being transparent. If you own a TV, you're going to hell. I don't say that. I don't do that. Old Yeller ends up getting killed. That's quite a show. Daniel Boone, Lone Ranger. But even some of those old shows with Kitty at the piano, zip, zip, right by that, we're not going to watch that. I'm not going to put a low-cut blouse in front of my teenage boys, throwing red meat to a dog. They're not having Sunday school thoughts. Well, what's the matter with them? They're boys. Nothing's wrong with them, except they don't have parents that put controls in place. That's getting a little thick in here tonight, isn't it? Huh? That's all right. It's good for us. Oh, you old Lot, man, he vexed his soul. He vexed his righteous soul, his just soul. He vexed himself by hearing and seeing and dwelling among them. And I don't do that. I'm separated from the world. Yeah, I don't go there, but hey, come on in here. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? This modern stuff coming out of Hollywood is filled with unlawful deeds. Unlawful deeds. Deeds that are unlawful according to the law of God. You know what children are supposed to do? Children are supposed to honor and obey their parents, not talk back to them, be a smart aleck, and disrespectful to their parents. Men and women are supposed to limit physical contact with each other to the bonds of marriage, not love the one you're with. Teen boys and girls are supposed to keep their hands off each other until they get married, not sneak around and carry on like married people. Drinking and cussing and flirting and carrying on, and men with men and women with women, and smoking and doping and gambling, and all of it takes place out there. We don't do that. Oh, we just bring it in here. And it vexes everybody's soul and spirit. We vex our souls just like Lot did. We are as guilty of dwelling among them as Lot was in living color. That all comes as a result of what we take through the eye gate, through the ear gate of our bodies. Maybe that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Keep the ear gate, keep the eye gate right, and you're going to go a long ways toward keeping your spirit right. Yeah, I can't get many amens tonight, but that's the truth. You're going to get a long way. Go a long way. We vex our souls as Lot did through the ear gate and the eye gate of our bodies. We vex our soul and spirit. And we do that, we're not able. They war against the soul. There's no peace, there's war. There's no joy, there's war. And we're not living up to what our purpose in life was, to please God. He's our creator. He's our redeemer. So determine. Do something tonight. Don't sit there and grind. Just think about it. What's your intake? Okay? What's your intake? And determine to guard your eye and your ear gate. Determine to do that. If you're going to watch something, place filters on what you watch and set parameters for your family for what you will watch and what you won't watch. And you know what you need to do? Commit to God to use the little red button that turns it off. Everybody here can do this. Not everybody here can shoot a basketball. throw a football, sew, maybe cook, but everybody here can push a button. What will my kids say? Deal with it. Deal with it. And remember, while you're working to guard and filter the eye gate and the ear gate, remember that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And when he beholds the good from you and me, guess what it does? It pleases him. And when he is pleased, we are fulfilling the purpose for which we were created and redeemed. And we'll be able to truthfully sing in church the next time Brother Luke or Brother Andrew leads us in "Redeemed and So Happy in Jesus." Because I am fulfilling the purpose for which I was created and redeemed. And I won't be long-faced, and I won't be unhappy, and I won't have this war in my soul. I'll have peace and rest and fulfillment and joy. And remember, folks, in the end, you say, well, that's kind of narrow. God is worthy. Would you dare argue that? He's worthy. If God is anything, he's holy. Holy, holy, holy. Yeah, look, I'm not trying to paint a picture of some recluse monk living in some cave somewhere. We're going to see things. We're going to hear things. It's going to happen. It's all around us. But we have to be careful about those things that we just invite. And invite. I remember telling our kids, I don't know if they remember this or not, but I'm pretty sure we talked about this in family devotions. I was pretty frank with them. I told the boys, I told them when they went to work at the farm, you know, you're going to hear, now bear with me, you're going to hear somebody damn something. You're going to hear somebody say hell. You're going to hear that. But when they put God's name with it, now you've crossed the line. And I remember when one of you came home and talked about that goofball that used to stop by the farm up there. These little guys, I don't know which one it was, little guy. And Dad, boy, so I went right to John. I said, John, that can't happen. That can't happen. If those boys are going to work, that can't happen. Got to guard the eye gate. Got to guard the ear gate. Do the best you can. You know what? You're going to hear it out in the world when you're working. But to bring it right there in living color on an 8,000-inch screen, as big as this auditorium. It wars against the soul. You say, man, Pastor, good night. Last week and this week on Wednesday night, it's been kind of sticky. He's worthy, folks. He is worthy of his people living a holy life. A holy life. You say, why are you preaching that to us? We're here on Wednesday night. I know, the Sunday morning only crowd, I'm just trying to get them to come back to church on Wednesday night, on Sunday night. I'm not doing real good at it. But you're here. If there's a group that's going to live holy, you know who it is? It's you. Just God is worthy. He's worthy because he created us, and he's worthy because he redeemed us. And we ought to be able to sing, "Redeemed and So Happy in Jesus." Let's stand together. Enough of that. Okay. Everybody take a deep breath. Heavenly Father.